Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a beautiful morning out there this morning. Thank God for that. But we sure could use a little bit of rain. I know the farmers sure need it. Right, Rich? Yeah. I don't have a lot of announcements this morning, but I do have one. Jeff Nickel, cancer surgery on Monday. That's Al's brother. So keep Al's brother in your prayers. But God wraps his healing hands around him and brings him out of all this. On our birthdays, we only have a couple of them too this morning. We got Olivia Haynes on the 27th, and we got Warren Campbell on the 30th. And it doesn't look like we have any anniversaries this coming week. So I don't believe we have anything else here. Is there anything else, Pastor, that you need to announce this morning?
No? I don't think so, just other than what's in the bulletin.
Okay. Yeah, take a look at the back of your bulletin. Make sure you look over these folks that need your prayers there on the back of your bulletin. Where is it? Yes. These folks, Lord, some of them have been on here for a long time. And Lord, we certainly ask you to touch all these folks. They're all dealing with one nasty situation or another. And I guess probably everybody knows that Jenny Bizet is over in the medical care facility now. So, and my understanding, and I could be wrong on this, but my understanding is that her brother Tim is also over there now. So we've got a while to go yet, I guess. They just give me the 5-minute code here. So
3 minutes now, he said.
3? Okay. Well, we'll see if we can keep this going for 3 minutes. Has anybody got it? Anybody got anything they'd like to announce or say, or a blessing maybe that happened to them?
We've got a praise this morning. Anyone have a praise?
You know, I got to tell you, folks, it's been a long time since I've been to a Catholic wedding, but I was to one yesterday down in Emmett, and I got to tell you, I was impressed. It was a really nice service, and I was just telling this.
June.
I was telling June that they had 3 people there playing a guitar and singing, and it was really, really nice. It was a little bit longer than I'm used to, but it was nice. Yeah. Anybody else got anything that happened over the week, Karen? Good, good. That's going to be kind of hard just to sit there doing nothing for that long. Yeah.
We can probably invite Angela to light the candles.
Yes.
I know this is really quick. We're still waiting for some last minute entries, but it looks like we'll be able to help 7 kids go to camp this summer. Yes,
come forward. Please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Our praise song this morning is number 3101, Love Lifted Me. For all our radio listeners out there, welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I am Ivan Henderson, worship leader for this morning. We will now have our call to worship. Please respond in the dark print. Incline your ear, O God. Hear the praises of your people.
Let the hearts of your servants, as we lift up our souls to you.
For you, O God, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love.
In the day of trouble,
your people everywhere glorify your name.
For you are slow to anger and abound in steadfast love.
Turn to us and be gracious.
Let us pray.
Thank you, loving Spirit, for the warmth of summer and for your invitation to embrace abundant life. Your promise of resurrection allows past troubles to die as we rise with you to new life. Inspire us to follow your lead, even when it requires us to bear a cross of sacrifice in your name. May our love for you be complete as we share words and acts of compassion with a world that yearns for your peace. Amen and amen.
Our opening hymn this morning is number 3104, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, seeing as we have only us big children here today, let's go right to the Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading today comes from Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 through 21. Hagar and Ishmael sent away. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for the woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offering." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called Hagar from the heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by his hand, for I will make him into a great nation." May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
As Ivan had mentioned earlier in the service, we have lots of folks to pray for that are depending on our prayers. Many unspoken needs. Are there unspoken needs today? Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. God hears and knows our hearts. This week, the business that we will be praying for is the Elk Street Brewery and Tap Room. We will remember them in our prayers, as well as all the ongoing events. We have lots of graduation celebrations, and I know there's many reunions taking place and all kinds of activities uptown. And so we pray for each of those activities, and we pray that people will stay safe and in the center of God's will during all of that. Thank you for sharing your praises earlier in the service. Let us now take time to go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into your throne room. Let our prayers enter into your presence, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you hear the desires of our heart, those needs and those cares that come pressing in. Lord, we ask that you would touch each one. We ask that you would help in each and every situation. Lord, we've had things come up this week that were so very unexpected. And yet, Lord, your presence was felt and is felt. Lord, thank you for your inspiration. Thank you for your healing touch among many. Thank you for the covering for those awaiting surgery, procedures, test results. Lord, we pray that you will enter into each life, that you will guide the hand of the surgeons, that you will give them wisdom, that you will help in every situation and circumstance. Thank you for your Holy Spirit here in this place today, for shedding light upon our path, leading us in your ways, helping us, Lord, to find that hope that some days seems fleeting. But then you show us over and over again, Lord, your mighty grace, your abundant mercy, your unconditional love. And we know your presence is with us. Lord, we pray for every family represented here, every family that's listening, every family that wishes they could be here in this sanctuary, but for one reason or another is not able to. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers and knowing our needs. Shower down your grace and mercy upon this church, Lord. We pray for our church. We pray for the decisions that are always made, the plans that you have for us, Lord. Help them to carry them on to fruition. Help us to do your work in the world that you have called us to do, who you have called us to be. Nourish us, Lord, feed us and fill us with your Spirit. We pray this day in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And amen. We're going to have our choir anthem at this time.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own.
Our New Testament reading this morning is taken from Romans. If we go to chapter 6, starting with the fourth verse. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. May God add his blessing to his word, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good news for all. Don't we all look forward to that every day, to having one piece of good news come into our day and into our life? We don't hear too much good news when we turn the TV on or the radio on. But we hear good news when we let the Lord enter into our life and the Holy Spirit work within us. I'm going to kind of go back a few Sundays in our thinking. We're going to talk a little bit more about Pentecost today, because we know Pentecost is an important time for our Christian faith and for the church. The story of the church and the articulation of the church's mission begins with Pentecost. It was noted before that we talk about Pentecost predicted in Acts 1:8. The disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem, where they would eventually receive the Holy Spirit and be told what they are to do. So, you know, I always think when I come to church on Sunday morning, whether I was a little girl or whether I was a grown adult, well before I was a minister, that we come into God's house that we might receive that Holy Spirit and that we might receive a filling of that that would sustain us and help us through the week. And when you're little or when you're younger, I guess you don't realize how vital and important that really is. And as you keep growing older, you realize how important it is that the Holy Spirit walk with you each and every day of your walk on this earth. It's vital to be filled, because there's so much that likes to let that air out during the week and drain us of all of that. And some weeks can be very, very draining, can't they? But we come with hope, and we come receiving the Holy Spirit to be filled, to sustain us and walk with us during the week. What happened next in that Pentecost scenario was not at all the product of expectation or planning. And isn't that how God works? He comes through and comes about in our lives in ways that we can't imagine or expect. He shows up when we least expect it sometimes, when we're feeling at our worst or down and out, when we're a little bit frightened of life, when we're a little bit frightened of our future. We remember that the Holy Spirit is there, creating a new thing, creating something new right before our very eyes. And a new thing happened for them on that day, which they were forced to interpret to these mocking onlookers. When we're considered the onlookers in life, sometimes we can be quite judgmental, can't we, if we're honest? It looks a certain way through our lens of our eyes, and it can be a completely different way in reality. The crowd on this street were mocking the apostles at Pentecost, saying, "Oh, they've all had way too much to drink." Peter comes out on the street and says, "We have not had too much to drink. It's 10 in the morning. The day is just beginning." And then Peter says, "No, this is what was promised by the prophet Joel. There was a day when God's Holy Spirit descended on just a few people, the prophets. But there will be a day when God's Spirit will infusely be poured out on all, young and old, rich and poor, all." Have you ever heard one of those commercials that say, "Call this number, the first 100 people will get this, that, or the other thing. Or send in this card, put it right back in the mailbox, and the first 50 people will receive this or that." That's not how it worked with God's word and with God's good news. His good news was for all. It didn't matter if you were first or last. If you are still one of those people here today that are still wondering, is that really true for me? I'm here to tell you the good news is for all. It doesn't matter where you've been or where you think you're going or where you will find yourself this afternoon. It doesn't matter where you stand right now. What does matter is that this good news is for each and every one of us. Peter preaches, "Repent and join us." This promise isn't just for the first 12 to show up. It's for everyone. That day, 3,000 signed up, responding to the good news that what Jesus did in the cross and the resurrection, he had done for all. Now on that day, 3,000 did what they were really led to do. But think of how many over the centuries, because of those 3,000, think how many have been added to that because of their witness, because of their faith, because of what they witnessed with their own eyes and the impact that Pentecost day made. Pentecost's impact is universal. It's the nature of the Holy Spirit to refuse being contained. Isn't that awesome news for us? We can't hold back the Holy Spirit, and I think we stifle the Holy Spirit sometimes when we should just be letting it flow freely amongst us, through us, in us, taking control of every moment that we are together in communion, taking control of our lives, filling us to overflowing, rich or poor, young or old. It's the nature of the Holy Spirit to refuse being contained, to resist confinement. It's poured out at Pentecost for all of us and continues on to this day. I hope that at some time in your life that you've been part of a service where all of a sudden something changed. Ivan and I were just talking about that a little bit earlier, about how sometimes you have a plan in place and the bulletin, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, we're going to do something different today. And that is just fabulous with me. Because that's what God wants. That's what he wants us to hear. That's what he wants us to know. Some interpreters connect Pentecost and the Tower of Babel story. At Babel, of course, we know it was kind of the opposite. Babel, as a result of sin, tongues were scattered and people couldn't understand each other. In Genesis, this story of confusion and separation laid the groundwork for world history. Pentecost, by contrast, we have an event that lays the groundwork for a story of universally unity, that universality, and unification. Maybe those who were separated by language, custom, and culture are now being brought together by that Holy Spirit. Those people that are different from us, that walk in and have different clothing or different dress, that maybe talk in a different way. All we have to do sometimes is drive a state away, don't we? Maybe not even that far, and we hear people with different drawls or different ways that they speak on words. But yet we communicate, and yet we hear one another, and we learn to know one another as well. The Holy Spirit, I want you to hear this day, because I think I needed to hear this more than anyone. The Holy Spirit puts constant pressure upon the church, causing the church never to be content in being the stable, select few of the spiritually elite, but rather keeping the church in motion. He wants us to continue to be in motion, growing our faith, growing in love, growing in the way we nurture and listen to one another, growing in our mission and ministry, doing what we can with God's inspiration. He keeps the church in motion, always reaching out, always on the move with the good news for all, and doing it in different and new ways, unexpected ways. Not that we've conjured up, certainly, but that God has inspired, that God has whispered in ears and said, could you just do this for me today? And I had that happen this week already. People listen to that call and they answer that call and they help their neighbor. Maybe their neighbor that came out of different circumstances than you and found themselves in a place of need in their life. And so here we are, the church, in this community, in the county seat. We are called to a task, and we must not be stagnant, but ever on the move, ever listening and ever asking, Lord, how can we reach out today? Down through the ages, there have always been Christians who ask, will everyone be saved? Will everyone be saved? In one sense, this speculation, maybe we might think, you know, what happens in somebody else's life isn't any of our business. But I'm here to say that when God inspires you to witness, when God inspires you to share that good news, then when that person receives that good news, it's up to them what to do with it. Just like we make choices every single day, we can't force someone to love the Lord and serve the Lord. We can't force them. But what we can do is show them, maybe not even with words or preaching, but maybe with actions and the way we treat them and the way we act toward them. We can preach a whole sermon without saying a word. We'll all be saved? We don't probably know the answer to that. But when we do our part and we share what Christ has done for us, we pray that those folks will be inspired. I'm trying to think of the name in the back of my mind here, the name of this song, and I think it's the name, the whole title of this song was 15. Any of you recall hearing that song, 15? And it was a song about maybe you're the 15th one that has preached to that person or who has witnessed to that person, who shared Jesus Christ with that person. Maybe it only took two people for somebody, but maybe it took 15 for somebody else, or maybe it took 215 for someone else. But it's an awesome song, and I am going to look that up. And we're going to play that here one day. Just so that you remember how important you are in God's mission. How important each and every one of you are with your faith testimony. What Christ has done for you in times of trouble, in times of need, in times where we feel like we got a spiritual drought going on. The Lord steps up. He fills us up. And if all you have to give is your testimony, that's enough. And that's all someone might need to decide they want to know this Jesus more. They want to learn what they can do to help other people. From the first, right from the day of the birth of the church, the gospel is public good news. It's not something to keep to yourself. It's not something hidden away in a book. I know when I was in school, you know, we'd have reading assignments, and or they'd send you to the library, and you were supposed to finish a book. Well, some would look for the very tiniest book they could ever find. And you know, you're a librarian. You know, some of them have say, I finished that book, and the book was 10 pages long. But a book this big, sometimes they would shy away from, people shy away from, because they think, oh boy, that's just too much. I'm not the greatest reader, and I don't know, it's kind of hard language sometimes. But I'm telling you, those that make an effort to crack open that book, maybe dust off the cover a little bit, and open that book up, will be blessed. By the reading of even one word, one verse, one sentence, one chapter. Whether you think the whole thing is just too much, just start with a verse, start with a sentence, and see what God will do in you and through you with that, just that one verse. Sometimes it's that verse you needed to hear today. I know there's been several times in my life that I just was frustrated beyond words and didn't know what the answer was to whatever situation was going on. And have you ever just done one of these and opened it up and looked down and you read the first thing your eyes lay on and you think, Lord, you bring me to tears, because that's just what I needed to hear. That's just what I needed to know. That's what God does for us. That's the testimony and the good news for all. Not just for me, not just for the ones sitting in this room today. The ones sitting in this room today, I venture to say, are the ones that know more than ever how much they need to be filled up to keep going through the week. How much they need the camaraderie of their neighbor, how much they need the prayer and the uplifting. Those listening in, we thank you for joining us. We thank you for joining us in this worship. Even though we can't see your face, we know you're there and you know we're here praying you up, and we pray that you're praying us up, because we need it. We need it. We want to be continuously growing and in motion, doing Christ's work in this world. God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world to himself. Paul says that just as all have sinned, so has God shown mercy to those same folks. As in Adam, all die, so in Christ we'll all be made alive. I think of all of the different, I'm going to call them characters this morning, because they had such different personalities. They had such different callings and tasks that God drew them to. Right from the very beginning, and we think of Moses and Abraham, and we think of Sarah, and we think of Noah, and we think of Gideon, and we think of Jeremiah, and so many folks way back from the Old Testament that were called to different things. think of the Ten Commandments being brought as Moses brought them, and he had to do it twice. We think of Noah and his perseverance and struggles with being mocked and ridiculed and criticized during the long task of listening for the Lord for exact measurements and exact things to get this ark built. Being diligent in his task despite the ridicule. Being diligent. And we think of Jeremiah and all the bad news he had to share. He was asked to share, and God knew his personality, and he knew that he would be the one to give the news that maybe wasn't always welcome to be heard, but that needed to be heard. So many from Scripture, I could go on and on with so many folks that were called to different tasks. But again, that common denominator is the fact that they all took their leading and their instruction from God. They all listened for that leading. And as we go into this good news and Pentecost in the New Testament, we think of the prophets as well. We think of the gospel lessons. We think of the missionary endeavors to reach out to people. I could go back to Jonah even, couldn't I? Didn't want to go, said, I'm not going. And the Lord said, you are, and you will. Has he ever done that for you? Has he ever done that to you? When you said, I don't want to, or I can't? And he says, oh yes, I need you. You will, and I will enable you. I will help you. To us has been given the ability to work with the Holy Spirit and being sure that everyone gets that news. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit not as a private possession, but rather as an empowerment to move out, to share and show that good news to everyone. What is the good news? It's a whole bunch of things, isn't it? It's not just one thing. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. But the good news is he's here for me. He's here for you. He's getting you through the week. He's the one who provided for those needs when you didn't have anything. Or maybe when you thought you had a year where those crops just weren't going to cut it. Or when you lost your job, or when you ended up in the hospital unexpectedly, and then you were laid up for months on end. When you had to wait on the Lord for that healing. When you spiritually felt like you were down and out. And again, you knew that the Lord would restore, because we have faith that God does that for us. We know he does because we're a testimony to that. We're here this morning and a testimony to his faithfulness in our lives. I shared the story of the prodigal son last week. Luke tells that story. We remember that goodness of the Father. When that inheritance was gone and that son is starving and in rags, he returns home. The waiting father was yearning for that son, but certainly doesn't force that boy to return home. He didn't go out or send people out to drag him back home. He didn't coerce the older brother to loosen up and join that father's welcome home party. And maybe that suggests that God enables, encourages, empowers human response. If God coerced us to return to his love, would that really be love at all? He doesn't force us. But as we watch him work, we can't help but love him for who he is and what he's done. and sacrificed on our behalf. As we think about that descent, that day of the Holy Spirit, we need to focus on that Father's love. That Father doesn't wait for the Son. The Father, Jesus says, runs to meet and greet him, welcoming him home, not with a reprimand, but with a celebration. The Lord is celebrating you today, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Peter announced to the crowd, the uninformed, the mocking crowd in the street, it's not that we've had too much to drink. This is what the prophet foretold. There will be a day when God's Spirit will come to us before we come to it. This promise of salvation is not just for us here. Salvation is for everyone that's willing to hear. Hear the gospel, the good news that Jesus is determined. He's determined to reach out and rescue each and every one. Let us pray. Lord, where might the Holy Spirit be pushing us to give witness? Over what boundary or barrier are we being prodded to leap so that the good news might make its way to the least and the lost? On any given day, we might be one of them. So, Lord, we just ask that you speak to our spirit today. Fill us to overflowing. And help us to be today in all the days to come. Your church, the church of Jesus Christ. In your precious name we pray. Amen. If we can have our ushers come forward for our offering of our gifts and tithes. Let us stand.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Generous God, your morning sun gives life, your evening breeze refreshes the soul. As life grows to its fullness this summer, let us give generously and repeatedly through our gifts. May the hungry be fed, the lonely find good friends, and the grieving find comfort. With these offerings, we offer our own lives that we may rise again to live with you. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is page 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
I know that my God's words are true. We have agreed to know.
love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit bring hope to our hearts and peace to God's world. Amen and amen. Let's sing together, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." Have a wonderful, wonderful week, everyone. I hope you are blessed abundantly and that you enjoy the company of your neighbors. Share the good news with everyone.